The following program is furnished by its producer, host, and sponsors.
Good morning, WRCR listeners. It's Mark Brownstein here with Emerald Medicare. Good morning. Good Friday morning to everyone. It is finally spring has sprung. It is a beautiful day, and hopefully we'll have another beautiful weekend. I'm with Emerald Medicare. I've been on this show for about 2.5 years now, and I love having different guests, and I certainly have one today. And just as a reminder, the work that we do every day is supporting folks who are on Medicare who really need guidance and assistance and education, helping them make sure they're on the right plan going forward. We're available. We have an office in Stony Point and Nyack. Phone number is 845-358-1220, emeraldmedicare.com. Again, I have a great guest here today, Sarah Hiller Berson. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
It's so nice to have you here. I always and appreciate the opportunity to not just get to know my guests prior to the radio show, but also I heard you speak at a group that we both belong to called Orion.
Yes.
And so I heard the kind of work that you do that is really unique. And we'll get into that for a few moments. But just a little bit about your background, Sarah. I guess you have you grew up in Rockland. And so just a little bit about that, maybe a little bit about your family and where you live now.
I grew up in Rockland County in a nice little nuclear family, but at 4 years old, we had my grandmother move in with us, and that was really nice. She helped raise us, and we had a really nice life, and then when it was time to go to college, I decided to go to NYU, and my father actually worked in NYU, so that was great. We got to go there for free.
Nice.
That was really nice, not to be saddled with those costs, those fees of college. And so I went to NYU, and when it was time to major, there were different options, and I decided I wanted to be a social worker. Specifically, I loved my grandmother. I loved being with my grandmother. I really enjoy just the outlook of an older adult and the wisdom that they bring. And so I decided to go into social work and working with older adults.
So I agree with the wisdom part, and I being in that, you called it the gray tsunami. And so, yes, I do have gray hair. there is a tsunami, but a wisdom attached to the people who you work with. And you have a family?
Yes. So after college, I got married. I have a family. I have three kids going through the teenage years that are a big struggle, a big challenge, I should say. And we live in New Jersey, in Teaneck, New Jersey. And my husband actually used to work as a competitor to Uber, but then Uber got too strong. So I told him, you need to go into the senior industry, because that's a really good industry. It's a sincere industry. The people that work there are great, and your clients are really such a wonderful clientele to be part of. And so he decided to open up a home care agency called Synergy Home Care. It's a franchise, and it's in New Jersey. And I helped him start it, and I kind of trained him. And after about a year and a half, I gave him an honorary MSW, and so now he's off on his own, and he never needs me anymore. So.
Well, again, it is a great industry, and the people who we support every day, I think, have great gratitude for the work that we do. And so a little bit about the work that you do. You are from NYU, a clinical psychotherapist.
Yes, I graduated NYU with a master's, and I worked for Mount Sinai Hospital in the healthcare field, in the hospital. And then I took a little bit of time to kind of raise my family, and then I went back to work, and I became a clinical psychotherapist working in nursing homes and assisted living facilities. And that was really an interesting experience, where you really got to see the transition going from a community to a facility. And what I worked on with so much with patients was developing their purpose, having a meaningful life. You know, as we go through life, we have all these different circumstances that are changing. The transitions are very challenging. And especially when you go from, you can imagine living alone to a nursing facility, there's these variables that are changing, and it's hard to still find meaning in life. You know, when you're in middle age, you're raising your kids, it's overt, the meaningfulness that your life brings. And as you get older, you have to redefine how you see your life to find meaning in it and purpose in it. And in the nursing home, I worked a lot with patients on this, and we were really successful in helping patients find a purpose even as they were residents in the nursing home.
So this work that you do, Sarah, very important work. And, you know, mental health, we all know how important that is. We all know that people don't necessarily pay attention to that. On the other hand, seniors are transitioning from a very busy work life and family life, and sometimes they are alone. And so their lives are changing at an age when they possibly need more support than they did earlier on. But a lot of the work that you do, or all of the work that you do, is through Zoom.
Yes. I was working in the nursing homes for 10 years. And then when COVID came, that was a very intense, traumatic experience for everyone in the nursing facilities. You know, it was locked down. People were walking around literally with like full spacesuits, almost, you know, I would say spacesuits. And I found it very, very difficult to practice because people couldn't hear me. People couldn't understand or even see my facial expressions. So I decided to leave the psychotherapy field in the nursing facility and started, because of COVID, I started working over Zoom, doing teletherapy. And it's been 3 years now, and I've been very fortunate in how impactful you can be over Zoom, just as impactful as in person. And just it's been a really wonderful experience building my practice and really developing more skills and connecting to people. It's been really a great experience, and it's all over Zoom. It's great. Right.
Well, it is great. And of course, you know, one of the silver linings, if there is any, to the experience that we all went through with Zoom is we have another way of communicating, a way that works for many, not for everyone. But in the world of psychotherapy, I think that a lot of therapists have really embraced that very much so, because they need to be in touch with their clients, and the clients can't necessarily get to them anyway, and they still need the help.
Right. I always say to patients, if they have initial hesitation about Zoom, I say, try it. Maybe you'll like it. Maybe it'll work for you. Plus, you know, the convenience of not having to go places, you know, and not having to be able to drive places. If you're a little under the weather, you know, you could still go there. The convenience also of, like, if it's raining or snowing, you still have an appointment. It's great. Especially, you know, you're not going anywhere else where it's snowing, but, like, you have this Zoom appointment, you know, so.
So, you know, the name of your company, well, it's actually the
Center
for Purposeful Aging. And again, I want to sort of drill down a little bit, because finding purpose in life, again, I see this often in the work that I do in Medicare, is people are retiring, they're nervous to retire because it does give them meaning. And yes, often people say, I've got grandkids, I've got a purpose, right? Or I want to start to travel, I'm still healthy. Mm-hmm. But you're seeing a whole host of different situations where people are lacking purpose. Maybe you can give us an example or so of, you know, folks that have found purpose through you, and, you know, what is some of the areas that they sort of redefine themselves in finding purpose?
That's a good point that you say. You know, a lot of times as we retire, you don't realize how much of your life changes are going to impact how you interpret your life, how you identify with your life, how you find meaning in your life. And so a lot of people will say, well, I just have my grandkids. And that is a very strong source of meaning, a meaningful life. However, I don't know, most grandkids are kind of busy. And so, you know, what are you going to do the other 23 hours of the day, you know, or 20 hours of the day. And so, I work with a lot of patients that come in, and they're often lost, because when you don't have meaning, when you don't have purpose, there's also, you know, a sadness that you enter into your mind. And you know, when you have meaning, when you have purpose, it really does feed your self-worth. And self-worth is essential for your balanced mental health. Self-worth is essential for your perspective and seeing the world in a positive way. So we work in identifying, firstly, how your emotions can stabilize, how they can improve. And then once we kind of have a patient able to gain the insight and the strategies necessary to balance their mental health, you know, address their depression or anxiety, then we move on to finding purpose. Finding purpose is about identifying your values, identifying your interests, your passions, and your strengths, and understanding that given all of these variables, how do I individualize that for me? What are my preferences? What is my individual interests? And then going forward and saying, okay, how do I impact my world in a positive way? And it's very possible that, you know, you could have many purposes in addition to your grandparents. I have one patient who had retired right before COVID. She had a high finance job and she was very intensely busy. And she came to me about a year and a half into COVID, very depressed. So we worked on her depression and we got all those kind of strategies down in terms of how to have a positive perspective. And then we went further into more of a positive psychology approach in terms of developing her purpose. And she identified, you know what, I love people. And then she said, you know what, I love working with older adults. And then she said, she thought to herself and said, I'm good, I'm very social. That's where my strengths lie. And then she identified also, I love dogs. So she decided that she's gonna have a pet therapy kind of volunteer situation. She's gonna do that. So she doesn't have a pet herself. Her condo didn't allow for her to have a pet. So she used her daughter's dog and she went to pet therapy training. It ends up the dog could not pass the pet therapy training. Three times the dog failed. So but on the third time that the dog failed, someone approached her from the facility that was housing the training program for these dogs and said, you know what, you're great with older adults. Do you want to work? I have just a part-time job, two times a week in the mornings, 4 hours. Come and be our receptionist. Everyone will love you here. So she did it. She went and she got awarded the best employee of the month twice this past year. She said, this is my best job. And she says, it gives me purpose. It gives my life meaning. And, you know, that's her. That's her individualized way that she has shaped her life to give it purpose, to know that she is impacting her environment in a positive way, in a significant way. She reflects upon that, and it reinforces her self-worth. It sends her that message of, I have value, I am of value, and I have meaning in my life.
So it sounds like it starts out early in the connection to you, is to try and identify some of the things that may be blocking them from finding purpose. I mean, if one's depressed or one is coming out of a transition of an intense job, one has to start somewhere. And like you said, purpose is not necessarily the first thing that maybe someone is trying to identify. They're trying to sort of stabilize, get the self-worth, get back their confidence, get back on their feet.
Right. So what happens also a lot of times in transitions, when I say transitions, I mean like life circumstance changes, where the way you're interacting with your world changes and the strengths that you have applied to your world can no longer be utilized in that way to really impact your environment in a positive way. And so we have to identify how your world has changed. And then we reinterpret which strengths that we could then apply to your world. And you could see in terms of like this past example that I told you about the woman, she had strengths of, I guess, being a financial mathematician, but now she had another strength that we identified of being very social. And she applied that new strength to this other scenario. And both of them, I would imagine, I mean, she was happy when she was in the finance world. So both of those really fed her self-worth. We constantly have to really be feeding our self-worth, be kind of reflecting upon, we do this naturally, reflecting upon our world and identifying, oh, I have value in this world.
So there's so much value in trying to work through this. People, I think, feel lost, especially if they're on their own, and even if they are as a couple. All of a sudden, I mean, I talk to people who one person's working, one person's not, right?
Right.
both are retired. You know, one likes to travel, one doesn't. So to find even just the connection, the new connection amongst a couple, right? It's all of a sudden a new relationship. You know, the kids are gone already, and now they're not working, and so they're changing, they're transitioning, as you said. And it does seem to be that it takes some discussion, and it doesn't necessarily come naturally that people will figure this out on their own.
I think, you know, depending on the couple and the couple's flexibility and how sophisticated their interpersonal skills are, you know, they may transition well, but it does take time. I think, you know, especially with a couple, it's this dynamic that, you know, is constantly, it's constantly being reinterpreted and evolving. Especially now, I also work with patients that have experienced loss, or like widows and widowers. And, you know, that kind of transition also is a very powerful transition. You know, your world really is rocked. And you mentioned also the whole idea of alone, you know, and how people are now alone more. And that really is you know, a shock to the system. It's a shock to the psyche. There's a difference between being alone physically and feeling lonely. When I say feeling lonely is an emotion. It's a more powerful emotion, some people say, than anxiety, meaning that your choices, the way it impacts your behavior, is so significant. So you'll see someone that's lonely, instead of them calling up a friend and making plans that evening, because of how powerful that emotion is, it'll create, or it'll demotivate them, so that their behavior will be, I'm just going to sit on this couch and eat my ice cream and watch TV. But that's exactly what they shouldn't be doing. So I work a lot with, you know, patients on loss and, you know, and you know, overcoming the loss. And a lot of my patients that I do, a lot of the widows and widowers, we're able to transition in terms of being able to move forward from the loss, identifying how the loss, you know, impacts them, and really respecting the loss, but still also eventually transitioning into a point of like, this is a new stage of my life. How do I find purpose in this stage of my life?
How do I move forward?
Appointment.
So again, introduce yourself, your phone number, your how to get a hold of you.
Yes. Again, my name is Sarah Hiller-Burson. I'm a psychotherapist working for 20 years. And you could get hold of me at 201-357-6334. I have a website, Center for Purposeful Aging. You could reach me then, and I'm on Psychology Today.
Well, that's great. And so, you know, when I think about something you spoke of earlier when we talked about is having people feel relevant.
Ah, yes.
It's really, I think, important. I mean, I do right now a lot of activities in the community. I feel active. I feel engaged. You know, maybe too busy, but
good.
Relevant. And so, talk about the purpose of that concept of feeling relevant and how important it is for people as they age.
So, being relevant, or finding. Finding meaning or purpose in your life really needs to be reinterpreted, and you have to really be reasonable in terms of what your environment is. So when I was in the nursing homes, I had a patient who was an MS patient, and she was what they called total care, which means she couldn't even lift a finger. I used to come in, and I would come into her every, I think it was Tuesday mornings, and she would say, oh, good, I'm so glad you're there. Can you just scratch my nose? And she couldn't even scratch her nose. And so we used to talk a lot, and she was depressed. And she would say, what's the purpose of me being here? I said, well, we need to get you meaning in your life. And so we identified her strengths of being a sincere person, of being so social and warm and supportive and encouraging. And then what we did was I got her to start to work with the aides in terms of showing her appreciation for the aides, and really got them got her to get them to see their worth through how she would speak to them. And it ends up, she developed really strong relationships with these aides. They love to come in and see her. And it just so happens that whole wing, the aides, the way the nursing homes work, these aides tend to stay in one wing because it's just convenient to work in one area. She transformed that whole attitude of all of the aides in that nursing home wing. They were brighter, they were happier, they were smiling more, all because of her and how she treated them. That was her purpose. Her purpose was to shine her light on people that she is in contact with. So it's relevant. I chose something that was relevant to her environment and identifying that how can she impact her world, not the whole world, just her world. And that's what we have to really understand, that we are not going to be impacting our world like it was 20 years ago. What's our world like now? How do I interact with my world now that I could get the best out of myself and the best out of my world?
Well, that's wonderful stories. And so we look at, you know, pre-COVID and since COVID and the isolation that people experienced and got used to. And right. And so it changed seniors, I think, as much as anyone. I think teenagers got affected.
Oh, yes.
Pretty majorly as well.
Yes, definitely.
But I think seniors, again, I belong to a number of organizations that have a lot of seniors participating in it, even if it's financial planners. They certainly are in their 60s and 70s, and they're not showing up as much. And so are people realizing or trying to come out of that shell, or are they just happy to talk to you on Zoom and feeling better about themselves?
Well, I always encourage people to come out of their shell of a home. I always encourage people to switch up their environment. From a psychological point of view, from a cognitive point of view, it's very healthy to be outside. It's very healthy to change your environment because there's all kinds of muscles that are being used, all kinds of neural pathways that are being engaged when you're leaving in your home and going into fresh environments. So it's very, very important. Also, the elements of social, the elements of being social is also enhanced by this, by being out of the house. Is it something, is it something that... it needs to be improved upon? Yeah, I mean, it does. But I am thankful that there is still a lot available for those that are homebound to continue to be engaged in the world, even if it's not in purpose per person, but in more online.
Right, and there are groups that love their participation. They still can feel relevant in organizations that are, they can be on boards and they can participate and they can write and they can create, right. And even through Zoom, but feel relevant to a community and to participating.
Yes, yeah, there's a lot of groups that are available now, and I actually run an online group through the YWCA in Northern New Jersey, and we run a support group, but really it's called Healthy Minds, and it really every week we talk about like what different elements of psychological approaches to a healthy mind, whether it's anxiety, whether it's coping with a depressed friend.
Family dynamics,
yes.
Right? You talked about that. You talked about dealing with kids arguing. I mean, all those little things that you can talk about right. as part of a group of people, and
right.
you get other people engaged, they'll start to talk.
So what's so great, I always love about a group, as opposed to individual therapy, is, you know, the way my group therapy is run is, you know, I'll propose a concept, I'll offer up the research that's currently available, and then everyone contributes, everyone talks, and it's a platform for everyone to talk and everyone to kind of have their voice heard, which is so important. Another way to kind of fill our self-worth is to have our voice heard.
Well, you know, when I heard you speak and I heard the kinds of insights that you provide for seniors, I knew that you were a great addition to this radio show.
Thank you.
And, you know, you certainly have expressed, I think, in a very professional manner how important it is to have that kind of, you know, it's not just coaching. This is psychotherapy.
Yes. Yes, we're really understanding how our mind works in terms of our thoughts are creating our emotions. Our emotions are feeding our behavior and fueling our mood, and how our perspective from our mood is really, really impacting how we're seeing the world. Really going deeper into not just kind of like mantras, although that is a fun element of psychotherapy, but not just the mantras, but it's more understanding yourself. And I always say, you know, even if we can't solve our problems completely, to learn about our problems, to learn about our demons, and then choose to live above them is really the pathway towards a good life, a good quality of life.
Well, great insight, Sarah. So again, how do people reach you?
You could go to my website, centerforpurposefulaging.com, or you can call me at 201- 357-6334. I'm also available through Psychology Today. You could look me up, Sarah Hiller Brisson.
Well, that's great. Again, Mark Brownstein with a wonderful guest today, and Sarah, knowing what's in your head and being able to talk to someone about the things that are important to you, not knowing that you can't solve it all yourself, is really important.
Yeah.
Again, Emerald Medicare, the company that I am proud to be a part of, is Emerald Medicare, 845-358-1220. Again, thank you, Sarah, for being a part
of the
show today.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Have a good weekend, everybody. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye now.